Let us all say amen. Amen. I don't know about you, I do lay awake at night. Because there's always something going on in my life. And when I stop and think about the church, I gotta mourn sometime. That's my song, I love that song. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. God has blessed us to be back at this place. And I just hope and pray that all is well with each and every one of us. And as we continue to walk this Christian life, I just want to remind us and encourage us, stay on track, stay on the right track. Because somewhere down the line, God's going to call into play everything we've done on this time side of life. And I don't know about you, when I stand before his judgment seat, the only thing I want to hear is, well done, thou good and thy faithful servant. We've been looking at the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, the first few verses here. And we've been looking at the writer's words to the believer. Some believe that some of these chapters could be by Paul. And if you look at a lot of the letters that Paul wrote, Paul might have written some of them. But the author really is an unknown author. But it doesn't diminish what the book has to say. And in this book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer here writes to remind God's people, there are five warnings in the entire book of Hebrews. These five warnings are designed to help you and I stay on the right track. In Hebrews, I believe chapter 2 is the first one. And round about verses 1 through 4, there's a warning. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7, there's another warning. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 13, there's another warning. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and following is another warning. And then that chapter right there, it reminds God's people, by the time you ought to be at a certain level in your Christian walk, you need somebody to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And then the final one is in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 20. Very powerful book because it helps us to understand the importance of slipping away. And in this lesson this morning, I want to title it Slipping into Darkness and Not Even Aware of It. Slipping into darkness and you may not even be aware of it. And I'm learning that in your Christian walk, you know, you can do a lot of things. And sometimes you're not even aware of some of the things you do. Ever been driving down the street and you wonder how you got to where you were at? That's a danger, isn't it? But somewhere down the line, the believer has to really understand the importance of keeping his mind focused on what thus saith the Lord. The Hebrew writer here says in verse number 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And what we ought to be concerned about is knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. God sent the very best of heaven to die on the cross to reconcile us back to him. And if you understand what the Hebrew writer is saying here, that ought to be first and foremost in every believer's life every single day. Every day I wake up, I ought to be reminded of why I woke up this morning. Not because of my power, but because God so loved the world, he sent Jesus to reconcile man back to him. And I'm learning that when you understand that and recognize that every single day, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. You learn to wake up thanking him. You learn to go through the day thanking him. And even when Satan throws all the darts at you, you thank God that you're able to dodge them. Amen. Amen. Somewhere down the line, the believer has to rise to this higher plateau. And so the Hebrew writer here is going to warn God's people, don't let what you have obeyed slip away. But I'm learning, you can slip away and not even be aware of it. I'm going to show you an individual this morning that knew what he was supposed to do. But because of the cares of this world, because of who he thought he was, he started drifting away to the point to where he forgot where he came from. How many of us have forgotten where we've come from? Amen. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. See, I'm not talking about what side of the track or on the track you came from. Yeah. I'm talking about when you went in this watery grave. See, we all came out of the cesspools of immorality. We all came out of sin. Because we obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, church, we ought not to never forget where we came from. Amen. And I'm learning that when you don't forget that, you treat people different. Amen. You talk to people different. Amen. Your life becomes an example to people. Amen. But how many of us have forgotten where we came from? It's real easy to turn your nose up at someone else and think you holy when you don't even realize that you're slipping into darkness. So this morning, I want to show you some things here that I've been working on, because when I look at this, it couldn't help to remind me of the importance of remembering I was once lost. I was once alienated from the commonwealth of God. I was once impacted with sin, but God sent his son in the likeness of man to take away the sins of the world, and he gave me a brand new life. That's why it's hard for me to forget where I came from. I know what's behind me, and I'm so glad that I know what's in front of me. How many of y'all know what's in front of you? If you don't, I just stopped by this morning to let you know what's in front of you. If you live your life for Jesus Christ, you got a place reserved in heaven. If you don't, I'll let you figure out the rest of that. But this morning, I want to show you what this Hebrew writer is trying to get us to see. Verse number 2, he says, "For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." You understand what he's saying here? See, you can chuck and jive yourself all day long. Because you've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, you won't have no choice but to live right. But if you don't live right, you got a reward coming. Amen. And I'm learning. That's why James told the church there, James chapter 3, "Be not many teachers or preachers, for greater is your condemnation." Oh, yes, if I'm going to be held accountable for your blood, buckle your seatbelt. Because it might get a little rough this morning, because I want to show you how easy it is to drift away and not even be aware of it. You know, sometimes I'm driving down the street and I'm so busy waiting on the phone to ring or listening to my favorite music. Don't y'all look at me. If you ain't listening to the music, might be some. Never mind. Let me go there. And sometimes I drift into the wrong lane and all of a sudden, bang, and so it pushes me. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but the rest of y'all gone back. But I want to show you how easy it is to drift away, and you can have all the right things going in the right direction. I got a young man here. This young man knows what he's supposed to do, but the cares of this world gets him to the point to where he drifts away from what he has been taught. Verse number 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the beginning to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" The Hebrew writer here says, we're not going to escape. Drift all you like. In the day of judgment, you're not going to be able to escape. That's why the believer has to really understand who you are. And then you have to really ask yourself a question. Is my service acceptable to God based upon what God says and not on what I think? John chapter 4 and verse number 24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Without the truth, you can't even begin to worship God. Without the studying and the meditation of the word of God in your everyday life, you can't even begin to please God. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night." I'm afraid we don't do that. I'm guilty. You know why we don't do it? Because the more we do it, the least we start to drift. I'm learning that when I'm going somewhere, if I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I don't have to worry about drifting into another lane. Amen. Because my eyes are focused. How many of us are drifting in our Christian walk? And I'm going to show you this morning how easy it is to drift. See, this young man that I'm going to talk about got caught up in the cares of this world. He got so caught up with who he thought he was and what he wanted to do that as he started to drift, everything he had been taught just kind of went on out the window. You ever been down that road? I know I have. You know, how many of us know the difference between right and wrong? Mm-hmm. How easy it is to do wrong? Oh, yeah. If you're honest with yourself, you know it's real easy to do wrong. And I want to encourage us as God's people, stop and ask yourself a question. If he was to call and summons you right now in death, would it be enough to help you make heaven your home? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 24, Paul talks about something here in this passage of scripture. And in this passage of scripture, Paul talks about drifting away and drifting in a race. You ever been in a relay? Ever run track or do anything? Don't you have a lane you got to stay in? What happens if you cross the lane? Yeah, you understand that. God has given us a lane. That lane is to seek and save the lost and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Are you drifting? Are you seeking the lost? Have you kept yourself unspotted from? I'm just raising some questions because I want to show you this morning that as God's people, we must be aware that we are not drifting away from God. There's a movie that I like to watch. It's called Tokyo Drift. Some of y'all got it. The rest of y'all see me later. But look at what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race all run, but one received the prize. So run that you may obtain it. And every man that strives for mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Verse 26, look at what Paul says. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. Why be in this thing and still don't make heaven your home? That don't make no sense to me. Why come if you don't want to be here? That don't make no sense to me either. And why would I give my life to Jesus in the watery grave and do not what he commands me to do? That don't make no sense to me. When I was in the world, I was in the world. And I enjoyed the world. But little did I know I did all of that out of ignorance. But because I'm part of the body of Christ, my life takes on a whole new meaning. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ. He lives in me. And the life I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled. I've been reconciled. And if I've been reconciled, I got a message for the world. But it's got to start right here. Get your house in order. Because you don't know when he's going to call you. And if you stand before his judgment seat and your house is not in order and he says, depart, I will feel sorry for you. But guess what? You got to get yourself in order. The prophet came to Isaiah, Hezekiah, the king, and he told him that his sickness, he was going to die from it. And the Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he wept bitterly and reminded the Lord of his service to him. The Bible told the prophet, you go back and tell Hezekiah, because you wept and you cried to me, I'm going to add 15 more years to your life. Boy, that's some powerful stuff. I believe what the Bible says. And I'm learning that if you don't drift away, God will help you to stay on the right track. But look at what Paul says. Paul says, I run this race not with uncertainty. So I fight not as one that beat at the air. That's why I ain't got time to argue with you. I ain't got time to fuss with you. I ain't going to take the time. You know why? Because I'm in a race, and the race I'm in is to make heaven my home. But if I spend time fussing and complaining with you, I'm going to drift away. Paul says, I run this race with certainty. I'm fighting not with one that beats the air. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal salvation. And I'm learning, church, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith with or without anyone that wants to fight it. Because he's promised me, little old me, he's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. And I don't know about you, if he going to promise me a crown, I'm going to try my best not to drift away from him. Look at what he says in verse number 27. Paul says, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Does that sound like he's not going to drift? That sounds like Paul understands the direction he's going to head. He knows that if he don't buffer his body, if he don't keep his mind on the right things, he know good and well he's going to drift. And he says, so I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others. And this is what scares me. I myself should be a castaway. That's some powerful stuff. After I try to get you to do right, after I try to encourage you to do right, after I try to get you. I told somebody this morning, I'm coming next Sunday with my IV bottle. And I'm going to plug it into me, and anybody needs some juice, just plug it into you. Because somewhere down the line, we got to rise to this plateau. If we are the world's chance for salvation, what's our problem? Are we drifting from the word of God? Paul reminds the believer that in your Christian race, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine, continue in them. In doing so, you'll save yourself and them that hear you. This morning, I want to encourage us and remind us, don't allow the cares of this world to cause you to drift. John reminds us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. I don't know about you, church. I've been looking at how I drift away. You know, I love some gun smoke and some bonanza. And it's real easy to drift away because there's no pressure. I can sit there and watch rerun after rerun. Oh, y'all don't? And you know why? Because I don't have to concentrate on absolutely nothing. And I'm learning that that's Satan's tool because it'll cause me to drift from studying. It'll cause me to drift from meditating on the word of God. It'll cause me to drift that when it's time to do the will of the Father, I'm so gun smoked out. Amen. I just stopped by this morning to encourage our hearts and to remind us. Very powerful text because the Hebrew writer wants to remind the believer, don't get caught up or you will be starting to drift away from God. I'll show you this young man real quickly. Young man grew up under Jewish law. He understood something about Jewish law because the Bible says 8 days after birth, he is to be circumcised to consecrate his life to the life of God because that's what God required. He knew the Torah. He knew the law. He knew what God required of him because he was taught it from a child up. But you know, it's something about the world we live in that if you ain't careful, boy, it'll lock you up, tie you up, and throw you away. When you think you're on top of the world, that's when the world really eats you up and puts you right back on the bottom. I'm going to show you this individual. He knew what God required of him, but he got caught up. Caught up to the point to where he was starting to drift away. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the prodigal son. I want to show you this individual here because this individual knew what God required of him. He knew that the next person in line to inherit anything was the firstborn, not the secondborn. But this individual here got so caught up, and I'd really like to talk about his brother because his brother was so drifted. He had drifted. He was gone. He was gone. Because of jealousy, envy, malice. He was gone. He didn't only drift. He was a castaway. But that's not my message. My message is about this individual here, because this individual shows me. That's right. Show me that you can get caught up in this world so bad that you think you are right. You know, how often do we look in the mirror and say, you wrong? Huh? You singing. You know you need to live your life better than that. How many of us do that? Oh, boy, I know I look good, girl. I'm being facetious, but you know good and well I'm telling the truth. But how many times do we self-examine ourselves and look at one at ourselves? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself, whether or not you be in the faith. Prove yourself to yourself. Know you not that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Paul says to the believer, examine yourself. But let me show you this individual real quickly. In Luke chapter 15 and around about verse number 11, this young man here understands something about who he is. That's why I gave you some biblical background about being a Jew. But because of the cares of the world, look at what the Bible says. Verse 11 says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befallen me, and he divided unto them his living. And boy, that's what I like about a father. The father I serve will give you everything you ask for. Amen. Even if you're wrong. Why? Because he knows good and well the final say-so is going to be his. This individual here tells his father, give me what befalls me. And the father didn't argue with him. The Bible don't say he did, but he gave him his portion. Now, how are you going to get a portion before your brother? But the father gave it to him. Verse 13, the Bible says, and not many days after, the young man gathered all together. Boy, that sounds like me, boy. You say I got to do what? Give me my stuff. I'm out of here. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But y'all going on back to sleep. There's some powerful stuff here. Because when you think you got it all together, boy, you ready to get had, aren't you? Oh, yeah. I'm tired of mom and daddy's rules and regulations. I'm gone. That's this young man. The Bible says he gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. I don't have time to talk about that riotous living because I've been there. But you go read that from a different translation and you find out, are you talking about loosey-goosey? Come on, y'all work with me this morning. I want to make it real because I want you to see how easy it is to drift away and think you got it together. This man has forgotten where he came from. He was under the Jewish law. He understood the father being head of the household. He understood that his brother had first say-so over the inheritance to everything that the father had. He knew that God required him to stay in his place. But because of the cares of the world, he done forgot about where he's come from. The Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Boy, you know, God has a way of putting you on your knees. Oh, yeah, he got a way. You can fly high all you want to. God has a way to bring you down. He has a way to remind you where you came from. This individual here has done went out there. He's having a good time. And guess what? There's a famine. Uh-oh, I need some help. But you know something about friends? They'll help you as long as it's good. But don't let it get rough. Don't let it. What they call them, fair. I want you to watch this young man. The Bible says there became a problem in the city, and he began to be in want. Verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swines. Boy, you got to go back to his culture. You got to go feed some unclean animals that you know good and well God didn't approve of. Yes. God has to humble us. And see, and I think sometimes God has to humble us. Because unless we are humble and submissive to God, we're going to be just like this young man. This young man here now knows that I'm going to have to be at the bottom. All of what I know and what I've been taught has brought me to shame and to destruction. The Bible said the citizen sent him into the field to feed his swine. And the Bible says in verse 16, and he would have fainted, having filled his belly with the husk that the swines did. Now, I'm not the smartest in the world. Husk. What substance is there in husk? I guess when you're hungry, you'll feed on the husk. You think God is trying to show him something? You think God is trying to help him to see where he came from? You came from this, and now because you've decided to drift away, well, this is where you're at now. The Bible goes on to say, he would have fainted, hadn't filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The Bible says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, I'm learning, just because you think you're all right, sometimes you got to come to yourself. And I'm learning sometimes it takes this pen that he gonna go in to come to himself. The Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Before he tells his father anything, he confessed to God, Father, I've blown it. Why? Because now I remember where I came from. I remember that you are the one that holds the world in the hollow of your hand. You're the one that keeps me on the right track. The Bible says, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, yeah, he repenting now. Boy, you know, the pig pen will do something to you. Oh, yeah. You know, pig get clean. You can clean a pig up. He go right back to it. The pig pen has caused this man to repent of what he has done. But first and foremost, he recognized the God of heaven. Why? Because it's the God of heaven, church, that gives us life and everything we need. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the thief has come but to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Verse number 20, the Bible says, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, boy, that's what I like about God. Boy, he'll come to me and he know good and well I need him. The Bible says, when the father saw him a far way off, he saw him. And he had compassion and ran. I need to draw you this picture real quick. Under Jewish law, he wasn't supposed to run. Y'all looking at me funny. You read y'all's Bible. He has on a tunic. You have to take the tunic and tie it up. Men were not supposed to expose their legs. Oh, y'all didn't know? Okay, good. Well, that little history didn't cost you nothing. It's interesting here because the father is going to shame himself to bring his son back to where he was supposed to be. The Bible says he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe. Boy, that's why I serve God. He give you the best of everything. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring forth the fattest cow and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to make merry. Why? because he had drifted away and he's come back. But the next verse is a brother that we very seldom talk about, because this brother has drifted so far away that he needs some mercy. The Bible says in verse 25, "Now his elder brother, which was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and said unto them, 'What does this mean?' And he said unto him, 'Thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fattest cow, because he has received him safe and sound.' And he was angry." He didn't stop right there. The Bible says, "And would have not gone in. Therefore, the father came out and entreated him. And he answered, saying to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friend.'" Boy, that's some powerful stuff. You talk about drifting away, he's gone because his eyes have focused on the cares of the world. Church, I want to encourage us this morning and remind us, don't drift away from the things that you've heard. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our life. I want to encourage us and remind us, stay on track in your Christian walk. And then I have a quick little test to see whether or not, and only you can answer this, that you're starting to drift. When the first day of the week roll around, is it just another day in your life? When it's time to study and meditate upon your Bible, is everything more important than that? When it's time for Bible class, do you drag in and drag out? Do you say, "I'm going to do this and that," and do nothing? That's your test. And only you can answer that little test. I hope I've said something this morning to encourage our hearts. I looked at this young man because this young man shows that it's easy to drift away. It's easy to forget where you come from. How many of us this morning are slipping? And you may not even know it. Has Satan caused you to slip? And if he's caused you to slip, is he leading us? Is he guiding you? Because see, when you start slipping, guess who's in control? Satan. And guess who guides you? He does. Not only does he guide you, but somewhere down the line, he leads you into temptation. It's some powerful stuff. And you know why he does that? So you don't make paradise your home. I hope and pray, church, that as this year continues to move forward, that you stop and ask yourself some question. Can God really depend on me to do his will? Because I'm learning that his will has to be done by me, not because I'm a preacher, because I've obeyed from the heart the gospel, and I've said to the Lord, "I'm willing to do whatever you command me to do." If you're here this morning, members of the body of Christ, examine yourself. Are you slipping? Everything else becomes more important than your service to God? If so, you're slipping and you've forgotten where you come from. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray I've said something to encourage your heart. Hope and pray that you've heard the word of God, and you have this morning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The question is, do you believe what I've said? John chapter 20, verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. These are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10, 32, 33. That's what you and I are supposed to confess every single day of our life. Lest it drifts away. Then the Bible says you must be buried in water for the remission of your sins. He adds you to the body, which is the church. Colossians 1, 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, the body, the church, ecclesia, a called out group of people. And because of that, we have the right to eternal life if we don't drift away. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.